Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Now, there are three significant parts of how Seventh-day Adventists would practice communion, this Lord's Supper, as we are discussing this week. And it involves, number one, eating unleavened bread, drinking grape juice, which is the fruit of the vine, and washing one another's feet. We're going to be then taking a look at what all these mean, and guiding us in this discussion, leading out is Mdala Elder Peter Malate. Mdala, good afternoon and welcome once again.
Good afternoon, my honorable Sir Derek. How are you?
No, doing okay, Mdala. Trusting that you had a good afternoon.
A very good one. Thanks be to God.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mdala. So we are jumping into understanding the emblems today, and maybe let's just take a moment to go through each and every one of these in their order. Please take us through what they mean, what they represent, and the significance behind it, and maybe what we should be using, because even the items themselves sometimes are kind of argued upon. So let's just take it step by step. Go take us through the bread, the wine, and even the foot washing, if you can.
Yes, but please allow me to start with foot washing.
Okay.
For it precedes the bread and the wine. So foot wash.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fine, Mdala, you can take us through.
Yes, foot washing especially, let me maybe quote verses that we'll be using so that in our short period of time, if we don't reach our destination quickly, at least our listeners are able to see the point as where we were intending to reach our destination.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first one will be John 13. Go for the entire chapter for contextual purposes. Then it will be Matthew 26, 1 Corinthians. In the midst, I'll be quoting Philippians 2, 7, John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14. Yeah, let's go straight to the meaning, the meaning of foot washing. The meaning of foot washing, it's an ordinance that was started by Christ himself as they went to the upper room. As they get to the upper room, they found a potter is ready with water, a basin, and a towel. And as they were sitting around the table, everything was there. But one thing was missing, the servant to wash the feet of the masters.
Yeah.
Everybody at that time felt like a master. Mm. You remember the argument between the sons of Zebedee, who's going to be the greatest? And that irritated the other 10. So from there, as they were going to the room, everybody felt like he is the greatest, and no one was to humble himself. Up until the servant of servants himself, Jesus Christ, stood up. Mm-hmm. He took the towel. He poured water on the basin, started washing their feet. And it felt like a rebuke to them when the one who is great is taking a form of a servant. And that's where I wanted to quote also Philippians 2, 7, that he came from heaven and he came down. And when he came down, he became like a servant, and he became a man with flesh like us. He became one of us in order to be able to save us. So see him with your spiritual eye. Kneeling down, washing the feet of the masters, because he came down, he put us where he is. He comes to where we are. He become a servant. Start washing their feet. The symbol of that is that it's shown by the statement that when Jesus responds to Peter, Peter saying to him, Lord, I think that's verse 9, saying, no, you're not going to wash my feet only.
Yeah.
What about hands and head?
And head,
Jesus
yeah.
Christ, yes, Jesus Christ says in verse 10 of John chapter 13, it says, Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean. But not all. When he said you are clean now, he introduced something I talked about in our last session, that a baptism as well as the Lord's Supper, they sort of like run parallel. Why is he using the past tense? You are cleaned. He who is washed is clean. Meaning through baptism, you were washed.
Okay.
So after baptism, then you qualify to come and partake in this ordinance where you wash your feet. Number one, in coming to wash your feet, you are preparing yourself to say, I am now a servant, no longer having jealousy, pride, selfishness, and all that. Mm-hmm. But you see yourself as a servant to your own brother. You kneel down with your Gucci suit and all that. Come to the feet of the man that's supposed to be a servant. He is now your master. Mm. Jesus Christ, what I like, he says, if I, your Lord and your master, has done this, I set an example for you. Go and do it one to another. So we are supposed to be, number one, humble.
Okay.
Number two, the brethren are masters to us. So we are called to serve, for we are saved. So in doing that, Jesus Christ is putting us in his position. He left heaven and he came down and he became a servant. Mm. So whichever position we are, what I like also about this is that I may be a general manager in my company, but when I go to my church, I may become a deacon and serve under the person that, if you look corporately, position-wise, he's far from me.
Yeah.
But when I get there, he is my master. Mm. I'm the servant. He tells me where to go, what to do. As an elder, he tells me as a deacon.
Yeah.
But when you go back Monday to work, position changes. I am now the GM. I am. So in short, is to foot washing, it's important that it symbolizes that we wash our selfishness, our pride, and all these things that cause division between us as brethren. So we take a form of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
I so wish we can take the deepness and the seriousness of Jesus Christ washing the disciples' feet. Remember, you sit now in a seat as a master, and the master is now your servant.
Washing
your feet. Jesus Christ, you will remember, he had a parable of a donkey going from Jerusalem to Jericho. He found a man down the stream who has been marked, and he takes the man, he put him on a donkey where he was sitting, and he walks where the man was. So Christ took our form so that we may take his form.
Amen.
He died on the cross so that we may live. So the exchange of brotherhood, the Bible says, therefore God exalted him, for he made himself of no value, though he was in the form of God, but he didn't take it robbery to be equal with God. He made himself a servant. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us.
Yeah.
So we need to go down where people are and stop pride and stop all these things and serve with an open heart. So we become indeed the good servant of the Lord. And the meaning of that is even deeper, because if I get dust on my feet, I need not to go back to the bath. All I need is the foot washing. What does that mean?
Okay.
Yes. What does it mean? It means I don't need rebaptism. If you go to a deeper part of it, all I need is to confess my sin and to wash my feet and come, because Jesus Christ said to Peter, he who is washed need not to be except his feet, for the dust always will touch your feet. Meaning, as Christians, we might go and trip and fall, but with that we need it's very much important to have this foot washing service. Let me go maybe to the second part.
I want to say we've got about 3 minutes, Mdala, and I want you to just rush through them. The bread and the wine, maybe just combine it and take it, because we've got about 3 minutes left of our time. But I wanted us to say, maybe we'll touch on this one tomorrow, hopefully. This idea you're bringing in of rebaptism, to say then, you know, you're now bringing a challenge to the lesson we had last week and the relevance thereof and the way it fits in. When you're saying, if you've washed, no matter what happens, it's just dust on the feet, what then warrants somebody to ever be needing to go back into the water and wash again, if all they need to do is just take care of the feet and the hands?
Yes.
Yeah, but yes. Listen, let me not, since we don't have that much time, let's go to the bread and the wine. I want our listeners to take the whole meaning of the emblems for today.
Yes, the bread and the wine. If people have time, let them also look at the book of John chapter 6.
Okay.
Jesus Christ is talking much about bread. He says he is the bread that came from heaven. They ate manna and they died, but he who eat his flesh and drink his blood. So people were thinking he's talking about cannibalism, literally, whereas he was talking about a spiritual language, saying you need to eat bread. What is bread biblically? It's the word of God. If you get to the sanctuary, you had 12 pieces of bread that were changed every Sabbath, meaning the freshness, which is the word of God. So you, in studying the word of God, we are eating Christ. We are eating his word, for in the beginning was the word. So if you study, you are eating the word. It nourishes you. It gives you strength to face the challenges. Then he talks about his blood. The example you made, the unfermented a wine that we drink, grape juice, it represents his precious blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And the bread was supposed to be a living bread without a yeast, because yeast represented what? Sin. So on the first day of the week, when the children of Israel were to partake there, they had to make sure all these things are removed, symbolizing that we need to make sure we don't have any sin, but our intent is to go to God. Hence, John will write, I write to you, my dear children, if you sin, we have an advocate. He does not say go and sin, but he says accidentally, if you sin, we have an advocate. Let me stop here, my honorable.
Wonderfully, wonderfully put. And thank you for just laying that quick base. Mdala, I want us to just quickly, maybe as we draw to the close for today's subject, point out, and I think we touched on this, hinted at it actually yesterday, to say these items, how do they translate to everyday use? Especially, you mentioned earlier on how Christ would say, do this in remembrance of me, right? And Paul would then come across and say, when you come, you must do this and prepare and so forth. The frequency, I think that's a better word, the frequency of when we do this. I mean, for example, in the Adventist Church, we do it once a quarter. In the Catholic Church, I think they do it every Sunday. My question is not so much on the duration or the frequency. My question is more on the, how does it translate to everydayness? You're speaking about practical issues. You said the foot washing represents servanthood, where you treat each other as masters and you are servants to one another. And this motive comes through in other writings of Paul. And you talk about the bread and the wine being things such as the word and the life of Christ and so forth. How do we make these everyday things and not just things that we then remember on that one big day where we have the Holy Communion and the Lord's Supper?
Yes, thank you for that. Remember, once we eat the bread and drink the wine, and having washed our feet, we are ready to go forward. You can't say, I'm doing this post that, then I go back. No, it's to give you strength, because remember, this should not be an event, but a lifestyle. I mean, the practical part of it, you need to live according to what the master is requesting or requiring us to live. Live by the word daily in our lives.
Live by the word daily and also so this idea, I'm sure it's not meaning, Dala, that I'm washing everybody's feet wherever I'm going. How am I being a servant leader? Like you're saying, I'm a CEO at work. It gave that example. I'm a CEO at work, but at church, I'm listening to the deacon, who is probably a gardener as he goes on his daily basis. And it gives this idea that only on this particular day of foot washing, or maybe in the church service, does this exchange happen. But it comes across like you're saying, even on a daily basis, how do we make that practical, that a CEO understands that even the janitor who cleans the floor must treat him like they're the master? It makes no sense. I must really be honest.
It makes no sense in corporately in the world, but when you look at it, let's take for example, you take Daniel in Babylon, you take Joseph in Egypt.
Okay.
When you study their daily lives, that is why they were even able to change people, even kings in their countries, because this was their lifestyle. That is why they knew that Daniel will not do this. Daniel will, because in your office, you are still, it's Christianity is not a jacket you wear. It's a lifestyle you live. So whether you are at work, wherever, it should be known. The best way, firstly, is for you to be known that you are a Christian? How will you be known? By your actions, not by proclamation. Your action speaks louder. They can even impede what you are saying with your mouth. One writer once said, there was a big board somewhere in a church saying, preach, brother, if possible, use weight. Yeah. So meaning your lifestyle should be the one that is talking that this man came from. You remember Peter when he tried to deny Jesus? They said, but even your speech, your language. So even my speech, my action, my everything should tell, even before I start talking, that this one is a suspect. He looks like Christ.
He's a suspect to this one, yeah. You might try to hide, but we know exactly who you are. Mdala, thank you so much
again
for a wonderful lesson. May God bless you and have a good evening further.
Thank you so much, my honorable.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.